My dear brother Ipe, I received your message this morning, and I want you to know I'm sorry to hear that you're still suffering, brother. I am. I really am. I sat before the Lord just quickly and said, Father, you know, I pray for relief for this brother. And immediately as I begin to think about praying, here's what comes into my mind and heart that I believe is of the Spirit of Christ. I'm going to speak very directly and very boldly, and I pray in Jesus' name that you'll have the heart and the capacity to hear this, that your ears and eyes will be opened, and that you'll be humble enough, that you are a great man of humility, that you'll be humble enough to place this before the Father and see if this could be true. Here's what I discern as I think about your situation. I think there's something still in God's way in your heart. My first evidence of this would be that when you were not able to receive my gift. Now, I recognize that you think that you were doing that to protect me, that potentially you felt I needed the gift more than you. But I wonder if you might consider there might have been some pride in that. I'm not so certain. You know, that's something that I'm asking you to consider before the Lord. It could be that the Father sees that as an obstacle, and that's one of the reasons why you're continuing to suffer. My brother, here is a truth that I can tell you without any fear whatsoever of contradiction. I have experienced more suffering than most, not than all, but than most. Currently, I will be going on 2 years next month. 2 years, Ipe, since I have seen my children. I do not speak this publicly because it's none of anybody's business and because most saints would not understand, and just like Paul, had to apologize repeatedly. Please do not be discouraged because of my suffering. The church could not understand why Paul, a great man of God, would be going through so much suffering. And so in his letters, he apologizes and says, please understand that what's happened to me has happened for your good. But you can imagine all the rumors. God, how could we trust God if Paul can't trust God? Or is it possible that they were saying the things of him that they said of Job? Surely you must confess your sins, Job. Surely you must, you know, turn from your unrighteousness. Surely. And so you might imagine how destructive that could have been to the church, early church. Paul trying to hold them all together in faith, and he's constantly in jail, constantly shipwrecked, constantly being beaten, constantly on run from false brothers, from his own countrymen. He's constantly going naked. He's constantly being without food and water. He's having one bad thing after another. It never stops. Okay? Now here's, I want to get back to my quote, suffering, all right? There's not very many people on the planet, I would imagine, particularly in America. There's not very many people in America where you have a situation like where I'm in, a father who adores his children, a father who provides the single source of love and affection for those children in a way that they understand it, not just having food provided for them. That doesn't do anything by way of affection to provide for a child's sustenance. Imagine if God only gave us what I need, but we never felt his affection. We never felt his embrace. We never knew the presence of his love. Forget about it. Who wants that? Nobody. And so with my children, I am that source of encouragement, the only source of true biblical truth in their life. And yet God has seen fit to remove them from my life for a long period of time, and not just because I'm serving in the military in a foreign country like so many of our brothers and sisters do. They get to see their children more than I do. I have not seen even a picture. I have not been able to Skype. I have not been able to have a phone call now since January 12th of 2015. That's the last time I've heard a word from my children. I have not seen a picture. I do not know what my children look like. I do not know how tall they are. I don't know if their hair color has changed, their eye color has changed. My one son, as of 6 months ago, had grown 5 inches since I had seen him. His voice has changed since I've seen him. You know, that's intense suffering for a regular man. But for a man like me who adored his children, who people will tell you that many commented that I was the best father they have seen because I loved my children so much. And I spend 24 hours when they were with me during the summer with them. I'm not this absentee person, you know, go play video games, go let the world entertain you. I have things to do. No. I'm a godly man who fears God, who loves my children, and I do the best that I can do to follow God's laws, and now I suffer. And I suffer endlessly, all right? Now, hold on to that thought. I should not say I suffer, because I'm not suffering anymore. That is my point that I wish to speak to you, my brother. I am like Paul, singing in prison. And this is what God wants for all of his children. The fact that your circumstances are still weighing so much on your heart tells me God is not yet finished. My brother, please receive this truth in love. I am speaking to you from experience. I do not care what any false teacher on the planet says. Do they have my story? No. Have they seen the kind of miracles that I have seen? Maybe not. And if they have, they've been false if a brother will not tell you this truth. And this is the truth, that we are to give thanks to God in all things, for this is the Father's will. That we are to cast all of our burdens and anxieties on Him, for He cares for us. That we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, submitting our requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding in our hearts and minds, will guard those hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Those who fear the Lord rest content, untouched by trouble. Not without trouble. They don't rest content without trouble, having never seen trouble, but that trouble does not touch them. See, for years my troubles have touched me. They hurt me. They afflict me. They caused me gloom. They caused me doom. They caused me couch time. They caused me seeking God with all I had in the heart in the woods. They caused me tears driving down the road. They caused me tears on the trail. They caused me tears on the floor. They afflicted me. God was using that pressure. God was using that delay, God was using that evil to purge me of everything in me that was me. Self-denial. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, the psalmist says, but it was good that you afflicted me, for now I obey. This, my friend, thousands of years later, is my testimony. And so my experience has been, and my God's word says, that He who began a good word and you will work and you will finish it. He intends to conform you, Romans 8:29, to the image of Jesus Christ. How did Christ get conformed into, although He is a son, He learned obedience how? Through what He suffered. And it has been appointed not only for us to believe on Him, but to also suffer for Him in this life. Paul says, they take up and filling up into His flesh the afflictions of Christ that were not yet made full in Christ. That they basically embrace death every day. They embrace death every day. Indeed, we felt the sentence of death such that we even despaired of life. And this happened so that we might not rely on men, but on God who raises the dead. God wants to completely empty those who are His true children, of which I know you to be, brother, in my heart. God wishes to empty you and take you farther and deeper and darker than you've ever been or that you can ever go. And I'm telling you, as the Bible says, no discipline feels good at the time, but for those who endure through it and persevere in it, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. That's what I now possess, my brother, such that even though I still wait as the Lord tarries, even though I still don't know about my kids, every day, every single day, I'm talking 7 days a week, Ipe, I'm giving to other people and helping people around the world. Not huge numbers of people. I'm not some well-known guy who's affecting thousands, and I leave the numbers up to the Father. But I'm doing that with what I have. I'm fulfilling the missions God has called me. I have this amazing relationship with Him every day, whether I have $500 in my checking account, and that's certainly been a long time, or whether I have $2.50 in my checking account. I have learned the secret just as Paul did, of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether I have a lot or a little. God has broken me so much and for so long that I have gotten to the point where there's none of me left. The only part of me that is left is the part of me that loves Christ and that is beckoning others, calling others, pleading with others. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Give up on having life the way you want. And when my children are not in my life, and when your children's school payments are not yet made, Ipe, we must come into agreement with God that God is our great circumstance. He is the only circumstance in life. Every other circumstance that happens, as Hudson Taylor himself learned, were the very best circumstances, the noblest of circumstances in your life, because they are permitted by a loving God, or they are directly caused by a loving God. His sovereign plan and sovereign will is at work in your life. Have you ever considered that maybe it's not your father's will to pay for your children to go to education, that God may have a different plan? It doesn't meet with human understanding, and you don't know that that's the case. But what I do is I surrender to it completely. People all around me want to put all kinds of pressure, and they want to tell me about their plans for my kids and what they think I should do and what, you know, and how it should be. And I say, no, how it should be is how my Father has decreed it. My Father is the God of the universe, not you. My Father is the one who's in charge of the devil, not you, and in charge of my enemies, not you. And so I trust my Father. I'm doing my part. I do not live in any known sin. I don't mess around like other men do with pornography, and I don't harbor unforgiveness. I don't speak vile of bad words of people or anybody. I don't pollute my mind with senseless television programs. I'm very careful to put in my mind only things that renew my mind. I'm living daily in the fear of the Lord. If I stumble into a temptation, I put my face on the ground and humble myself before the Father, asking Him for His forgiveness. I speak with you with great conviction out of love and a desire to see you find relief from peace of Christ filling your heart. But my brother, as I stand before my Lord, I am a young boy asking for the day's bread. And that's how I start every day. And that's why I'm living the victorious life. That's why I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's why no weapon formed against me has prevailed. I've completely come into agreement with Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That doesn't mean that I can say, Lord, I'll carry 3/4 of the cross, but the first quarter is too heavy. That doesn't mean, okay, Lord, I'll carry the cross as long as you give me a nice, comfortable pair of shoes to carry it with. That doesn't mean, Lord, I'll carry the cross as long as it's been sanded down, polished, and it doesn't have any thorns in it. It means I carry the cross, an instrument of death, to where I no longer have any will of my own, but only the will of my Father. It sounds impossible to a carnal Christian like myself for 19 years. But it is the life I live now every day with the help of Jesus Christ who lives in me, and as Paul said, works so powerfully within. And this is what God wants for all, not just a Michael, not just me, not because I'm special or He's given me some special mission. Perhaps He has. Nonetheless, God desires holiness, sanctification, being set apart. He desires we surrender our will. He desires we lose our life to find it for anyone. Anyone who would come to me and does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That everything is our expectations of life, our goals and dreams for our children, our desires for comfort. All of that has to be submitted. It's the only way to have happiness, my brother. It's the only way. My God, if I could help you see what's in my heart on a daily basis. My God, may it be known to you. May you be able to see and reach for this to where you are completely independent of any circumstances in your life, Ipe. The Holy Spirit in me has proven the words of Christ true. No weapon formed against me has prospered. Much, much, much greater in me is He who is in me than he is in the world. That God being for me means nobody can be against me. That I have an unspeakable, glorious joy inside my heart, as Peter declares. I have proven the words of Christ true, my brother. There is nothing in this life, no amount of evil from my ex-wife, no amount of time from my children, no amount of doubt from those around me, no amount of being by myself, no amount of affliction, no amount of loss of finances, no amount of being homeless for 4 months, no amount of loss of dignity. None of those things have been greater than the presence and promise of Christ in my heart. My life is life to the full. I am experiencing life to the full. When you go down the list of temporal divine provision, I have it. Not what I want, but I have what I need. It's a promise. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. I don't have what I want. I have what I need. I have rest for my weary soul. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I have an amazing contentment that has quenched my thirst for all things in the world. John 4, 13 through 14. I have freedom from all known sin. John 8, 31 through 36. I have a peace that surpasses all understanding and guards my mind. John 14, 27. I have an abundance of answered prayers and fruit being produced in my life. John 15, 5 through 8. And my brother, I have the joy of Jesus Christ in my heart such that my joy is now made complete. John 15, 9 through 11. I have life to the full. And yet, I don't have any of the life circumstances that most people would want. And I only think about it when I have to tell people like yourself that I understand what it's like to not have circumstances that work. What I'm trying to get people to understand is you can get to a place, and God wants you in that place, where you're no longer clinging for the circumstances in your life to work, where you are willing to do and go whatever. You say, but a man has to have his basics, he has to live. And I say, well, a man has to have a place to live. I lived for 4 months in a commercial office building because I obeyed God. There was a house available for me to move in, several people, and God said no. I spent the first night in my car and I cried for 30 minutes because I knew this was real, that I was now homeless, that God did not deliver me, that I was homeless. And that night, God just gripped my heart and said, son, this is just a part of the journey. It's not the end of the journey. You trust me. You trust me. I'm working in this. I'm working in your heart. And there were days, months into being homeless, probably just weeks into it, living in a friend's office who he gave me to live in. I would come into that little office, drop to my knees, lift my hands and eyes to the Father and praise him. The presence of the Lord was so close with me, it was as if he was in the room with me physically. And I just began to bless him for all the little things, a bar of soap to wash my face, a sink to put water on my face with. I didn't have a shower, but I had a toilet and a sink, and I was so thankful, and I had a little bit of food to eat, but I was all by myself in this giant 20,000 square foot commercial office building, elevator creaking up and down all night long. It was built way back as a historical building, creaking noises, all by myself for 4 months, being willing to lose my dignity. People saying, what are you doing? What? I'm just obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my portion. Heaven and earth have nothing for me. The Lord is my portion. My heart and my flesh may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart. And my brother, I'm telling you, I've been to the bottom, and if the bottom gets deeper and darker, then I have experience after experience that Jesus Christ will go with me. And that every dark circumstance that happens, every difficult, never seeming to end period of waiting upon God has a brilliant heavenly design and work to do in my life and in my heart. And today I ask you, what is my reward for all this suffering I've been through? How have I been benefited from being separated from my kids and losing my career and losing every possession and losing my wife of nearly 17 years and losing my best friend and losing my home church and losing my neighborhood, losing my state. I don't even live in the same state. Losing my hobbies, my interests, everything was gone. What have I gained from that? What is my boast before the Lord and before others who would hear? My boast is this, my brother. I now have the greatest, richest possession a man can have. I now consider myself to be the richest person I know. I don't get to meet people that have been through this. It's such a rare, rare person that you find who has totally given themselves fully to allowing the cross of Christ to do its work in their life. People get on the cross and they squirm and they pull their legs and they kick and they scream and they don't want to be doing this. They don't want to die because they have a better plan for their life than God does. They know better than God does. I speak like this to you, my brother, because I hear this from people all over the world. This is not your situation, my brother. Please, you know I have compassion for you. You know I pray for you. You know that my heart is tugged. And you know I've said to the Father, Lord, please move on behalf of this man. And I will continue to do so. But my brother, you calling yourself by the name of Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, let God be true and every man a liar. When man does not possess that which he claims God has promised to him, the problem is with man, not with God. And I will stand and declare that to anybody. It is man's problem, not God's problem. God is not unfaithful. God is not impotent. God is not distracted. God is powerful. God is focused. God is intentional. God is good. God is loving. God is sovereign. God is omniscient. He is omnipotent. We forget who God is because our circumstances become our God. Because we don't deny ourselves. We're not willing to go into the pit. We like to go to the top of the hill with Calvary and watch Jesus mount the cross, but we don't want to get on there with it. We don't want to get on there with him. We want to stand and cheer and weep and cry and say, better you than me, but we don't want to say, I'm next. Put me on the cross. I'll die with the Lord. We don't want to do that. We kick and we flail and we fight and we put our jogging shoes on and we run and we say, no, we demand comfort. We want life to work like we want it to. We have societal norms that I expect God to provide. I'm a Christian. I'm to be blessed. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. We presume upon God, bringing an Old Testament covenant so often. 42 times the word success and prosperity type stuff appears in the Old Testament. Zero in the New Testament. If you use one of the top better translations. Zero times. Because we have an internal covenant with internal benefits. Success is in our heart, not in our circumstances. And that is my final point to you, my brother. I apologize for the long message, is that I have reached that place where my circumstances no longer dictate what my heart looks like. My heart is being dictated and determined by the peace and the Spirit of Christ, irrespective of my circumstances. You see, that means that whatever happens around me in the world, if America dies like everybody is saying it's going to, if the world economy collapses, you're going to have much bigger problems circumstantially than not being able to pay your son's college fees. I promise you. If those things happen, and perhaps the Lord is working behind the scenes, we'll have much greater problems than a lack of immediate comfort and immediate ability to provide the goals and dreams that we want for our children and even for ourselves. Okay? But the faith that I have found in Christ says, I'm still going to be okay and I'm still going to praise the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's all His. It's all His. If I don't have something, it is either because it is not His will for me to have it ever, or it's not His will for me to have it yet. Because He's in the process of working something in me or working something out of me. And my brother, that's what I suspect with you. That's the point of this. And it's not just you, Ipe. It's all of us Christians who call ourselves by the name of Christ Jesus, but yet do not want to take up the cross of Christ Jesus. This is probably the strongest revelation that the Holy Spirit has helped me to see. For the last 3 years or so, I have begged the Father Ipe to please tell me, how did we get from where I was to where I'm at? And the Lord has begun to open my eyes more and more over 3 years to help me. And I will tell you, when heaven looks down at Michael Criswell, it sees a man who denied himself. It sees a man who is willing to obey God completely to the best of his ability, empowered by grace, willing to cut off everything that the Lord would have me cut off. I'm not saying that God could not put me in a situation that's beyond my ability. I'm not saying God couldn't terrify me, and I'm not saying God couldn't push me over the edge of unbelief. But by his mercy, and because of his love, he does not do so. And so everything God has put me through, I've been able to surrender to it. And I quit fighting and I quit grumbling like the Israelites did. Can he not give us bread out here? Can he not give us meat? And the Bible says that God disciplined them severely because they grumbled against God and they did not believe. And my brother, I will tell you, the greatest sin in all the Bible is not a man hooked on pornography. It's not a man who goes out and commits grievous, horrible crimes. It's not a man who commits adultery on his wife. I have always said, and even my good dear brother now, Zach Poonen, has said the same thing, that the greatest sin that we have found in the Bible is the sin of unbelief. It is not believing that God is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he will do. And that he's able, or that he even desires to do that. So my brother, I pray. Again, I'm sorry if I've spoken so forcefully, and you know that I'm very passionate about this. I want you to trust God. I want you to completely throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus Christ and tell him that you surrender all. Tell him, I'm tired of holding on to things, Father. Perhaps you're wanting me to let go of two or three other things. Perhaps, God, that's why this season has lasted so long, that because I say to you, I want your best, and yet I still cling on to these things. Jesus Christ demands all, not 75%, not 85%, not 95%. He demands all. And out of his loving mercy for those of us that he's chosen, he will continue to turn up the heat. And he'll continue to bring a marathon of affliction into our life until we finally learn the lesson and surrender. My brother, I pray, just take everything I've said, take it before the Lord and ask him, Lord, is there anything that Michael is speaking over me? True. Is there any of these words that apply to me? Is it true? I am not the father. Clearly, I do not know what his plan is for your life. I do not know what he's doing. But God does give me discernment over people and situations sometimes. Why? To help the person. To help them see there's a way out. There's something in the way. Move this log. Take this turn. Consider this. Consider it, my brother. Consider it, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you, open the eyes of my brother's heart to see his situation, to see his heart, to see his life, to see his family, his circumstances, his finances, his children, his wife, the financial and social pressures that are upon him. My God, may he see every one of these things by the light of Christ. May he see them from your perspective, Father, not from his. May he see them from the vertical heavens, not the horizontal human understanding. God, I pray that you illuminate your truth and that you'll speak to him, Father, that you'll help him. You'll give him the grace to surrender everything, even his own understanding, God. May it be that he surrenders his own understanding. Perhaps there's a part of him that thinks something about you that's incorrect. I pray he will surrender his own understanding, and may it be, Father, you speak truth into his heart. You illuminate any area of his life that you're working in that he needs to participate with you in, Father. Help him to see it. And give him the strength to hand it over to you. In the name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for this brother. I thank you for what you're doing in his heart. And God, I pray your richest blessing on him, which is to be where I'm at right now, in this place where no circumstances, no amount of poverty, no amount of evil, no amount of difficulty can rob a true man of God of his peace. It cannot cause a man to grumble against his God who has been filled with the Spirit of Christ and who has fully yielded to the cross of Christ in his life. My God, I praise you for that, which I've never even known was possible, that I now possess. Thanks be to Christ Jesus, because you didn't give up on me, Father. And I know you will not forgive up. You will not give up on Ipe. So, Father, bless him, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that he can see his life how you see it, and he can walk accordingly in the way of truth. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for doing all these things. Amen. Brother Ipe, keep me posted. Take your very next step in faith. In faith, believe what I've told you and take it to the Father, and he is faithful and he will show you. God bless you, brother, and know I will continue to pray for you.